Don't you just love it when the hymn's just the right length? It's just wonderful. I'd like to look at a section of Scripture with you today. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. If you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, it's on page 836. And I'd urge you to turn there. If you have a Bible on your phone, take out your phone. It's okay. Take out your phone to use it for this purpose. Please. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. Give you a moment to find your way. The words will not appear on the screen. So you got them in front of you. You're holding it in your hand. Hear the words as I share them with you. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, we're going to focus specifically on this verse that you'll see on the screen from the text. Let's get that to pop up. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Moment of personal privilege. I love taking those once in a while. You may have missed it, but Pastor Dave is back here in church. And we give thanks to God that his health is such that he's here today. We land today on July 2 between a number of special festival days, but two that come to mind for me. One of them is June the 14th, and the other one, the 4th of July. Now, what's so special about June the 14th? Well, we know it as Flag Day. And on Flag Day, we pause and remember the Pledge of Allegiance, which you said a few moments ago. That's great. Something very powerful happened at the place where our national anthem that we sang took place. It was September. It was 1814. It was part of the War of 1812. We were fighting again with the Brits, and a truce party had gone out to negotiate with the Brits on the water in Baltimore some release of a prisoner, an elderly gentleman. And suddenly this thing is breaking into some wartime, and a truce ship was used, and the team that went out was sent to the truce ship where they couldn't go back to land. Because they were aware of what the layout was that the British had to take over. Well, those guys that were in that truce ship, they hoped that what we saw when the sun went down, that beautiful flag that was there, very large flag, made in Baltimore, hanging over Fort McHenry, would still be there in the morning when the sun rose after bombs bursting in the air and fire and all the noise that would go on. Because if the flag was still there, the British hadn't taken Fort McHenry, which means they hadn't taken Baltimore. And this is after D.C. had already burned. Ooh. Wow. And the sun came up and the flag was there. And Francis Scott Key wrote that great song. And he talked about the bombs bursting in air and all of that. Well, 4th of July comes. 2 days. And lots of memories for me as a child, maybe for you too, go into your mind of things that happened. But one of them that I could never let go of was the glory of gathering with family, always in the evening, to a park. We went to Glen Island Park in New Rochelle, New York. And we would go see fireworks displays. And we loved them. It was fun. Now, as the years go by, I look on something called the television set for the public broadcasting channel at about 8 o'clock on the 4th and say, oh, good, they're going to show the festivities. And I'm at home. It's wonderful. And what do we see again is bombs bursting in air and lots of noise. And it's exciting. We want to be part of that celebration. Why wouldn't you? Seems like a fun time. And remembers a great history. History of our country, which has had some tough bumps and some great strengths. Jesus came to us ever so quietly. The hymn writers tell us, oh, it was a silent night, a holy night. He came and hardly anyone knew. Mary and Joseph figured it out. Some shepherds a mile and a half away in Shepherd's Field, that's what it's called today, in Bethlehem, they found out because a cadre of angels showed up and started singing. That was the announcement. And shepherds, who were not the notoriously wonderful people of the community, showed up in the town of Bethlehem, a small place, to go and see where Jesus laid. And they gave thanks to God and left. Jesus lived and he suffered and died. He came for a reason. He came because you are a soul worth saving. Mine is a soul worth saving. He came because we have a heart that he aches to be with, that he wants to have. And so he came to love us, even in the midst of the things that we know are wrong, things that are broken in our life. And you look at your life, I know as you look back, each one of the answers is different. It's not the same from person to person, but when you look back, you say, there are places that are weak. And then comes this verse. When Jesus comes back next time, it's not going to be a silent night. The way I read it, it's going to be, as he descends from heaven, a cry of command. You won't be staying there wondering, how are we going to know this is God coming? Huh? How are we going to know? Voice of an archangel. That's probably rather loud. Sound of a trumpet. Not somebody who's like a nice boy and or girl and scouts who blows trumpets, but or military, maybe a trumpet of God. Hear it around the globe. The dead in Christ arise first and we follow. Jesus' return is going to be extremely colorful. It's going to feel almost like the evening of 4th of July. Now, I don't know about you, but when I watch it on TV, I'm so grateful for, William Tell's overture, boom. And I get to hear that marvelous music. That's good. But I really don't know at exactly what time the actual fireworks are going to begin. I didn't know that either when I would go to the park with the family as a young child. I didn't know what time it was going to start. 8:45? 9:05? 9:20? They didn't tell me that. They didn't tell my family that. They didn't tell any of the families on the hill. But we were all there. You know why we were there? Because we knew it was going to happen. That's why we were there. Somebody else was running that. I don't know when this command is going to happen with this voice of an archangel and the sound of the trumpet of God and the dead in Christ rising. But because it's in God's Word, I know it's going to happen. I just don't know when. And so I spend my life with an eye always towards that moment when it's going to happen. For just as sure as I showed up to see fireworks and I knew it was going to happen, I just didn't know what time, I'm assured, more sure that this is going to happen. And I don't know exactly the day or the time, but that's okay. I don't need to know that. I just need to know why he's coming back. Because he's prepared a place for you and for me. And in that place, he said, I'm preparing this place because you are a soul worth saving. You have a heart that's worth my searching and finding and having to love. Powerful. And I don't care what your political party is or what part of the world you live in or rich or poor, color your skin. Nothing to do with any of this. This has everything to do with those things that are eternal. Because God loves us so. So I don't know when he's going to come, but he's going to come. So tonight, if that's when you go to see fireworks, or tomorrow night, or the night of the 4th, because I don't know what your communities are doing and when they're doing it and what time. But when that happens and you go, there'll be a period of darkness. There'll be nothing to see. The sky will be, and you're just waiting. I want you to sit on that folding chair or on that carpeted rug that you have or out on in the park or in the folding chair at home, leaning back in your lazy boy. And for a moment, just stare into that darkness. And remember how dark this was for Christ to come and live in a world where they spit on him and stripped him and whipped him and beat him because you have a soul worth saving. You know, everybody thought it was over on Friday. But see, Sunday was the fireworks. Sunday, he was alive. They couldn't believe it. It was the most beautiful thing those disciples could have imagined. And they were shocked and in awe. Might we be no less? As you sit in that quiet moment one of these next evenings and just look a little deeper, first at your own brokenness, but then at the hope and the certainty that Christ is coming, as certain as you are that those fireworks are going to go off. And when they do, and the sky lights up and it just looks great, remember, that's a little tiny taste, really small, of this verse, of how Christ is going to come back for you, for me, and for all those loved ones who've already gone to be with the Lord, who you miss and wish you could be with right now. And he does it all because you have a soul worth saving, and a heart worth achieving and loving and being with. As you leave this place today, enjoy a picnic on a hill, and get in your car and drive off and head out to whatever the day holds and the week holds, I hope that you take this as an opportunity to reflect this, that Christ has done for you and is planning in your future that you can be so certain of, as certain as there's going to be fireworks going off, even more certain. That you reflect that to the life of other people. And that they too will know Christ as their Savior. Because you're going to leave here and you're not going to give them hell. You're going to go out there and you're going to give them. Ooh, you knew that. Good. That's what you give them. Amen.